I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 42, the 1972 Dodge Charger, caught no one's racing, driven by country music star Marty Robbins. What do you think of that, Nate?
That's really good. That's really, really good.
Sherman set the Wayback Machine for 1972, when we had real muscle cars, real cars.
Yeah, right. Real cars. And
real cars.
Not Carl Larson, not Kyle Petty. Who was in the 42?
Kyle Petty.
I think it was Kyle Petty. I thought I had
Kyle Petty.
Misfire there. Yeah.
That's all right.
Jeez, Nate. Even I knew that.
No, I knew that.
Isn't that cool?
That was the first guess.
I was gonna go with the Plymouth Superbird, but we already did that this year.
So. About the number 40, right?
Yeah, but it's just
Pete Hamilton.
I already did that.
I have good NASCAR history.
I know.
Try me.
But I love it. 1972 Dodge Charger. Like, that was like fast.
Bad fast.
It was not a spec car either.
No. It wasn't anything stock about it.
No, and this is like back in the day when we didn't have pit lane speed limits and stuff like that and stage racing.
What are those?
With men and men. And the South will rise again.
Wow.
All right. On tonight's episode, we'll discuss NASCAR in Sin City. Oh, sorry, not Sin City. Sin City East. Was Pitbull there?
Oh, good one.
Was Pitbull there?
Yeah. Mr. 305 was there, right? I saw him.
Was he?
305.
Yeah, 305, right?
Mr. Worldwide. Was he there supporting Trackhouse?
He was walking with them in a post, so...
Was he? All right.
Yeah. Ross and Daniel, so...
We had a barn burner of finish there.
That was...
Huh?
Sure.
It was a barn burner.
I have my thoughts.
Oh, wow. All right. We will talk the Mexican Grand Prix.
That was a good race.
Controversy.
Oh. I tried.
Then we will discuss our race of the weekend. That we feel was the race of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. I think it was, yeah.
Which was... The Virginia is for Racing Lovers 300. Mazda MX-5 Cup Race at Martinsville.
Yeah.
So good.
105 laps on the bull ring. On the paperclip.
It was
in an
fantastic.
MX-5. It was fantastic. Can't MX-5s, I mean...
Should we just hop into it?
No. We'll come back to it. Let's get to NASCAR.
Okay.
Nate, welcome back.
Yes, here I am.
Just in time. Oh my God.
Yeah, for the championship. I see.
I think the guy that was leading the championship, you know, should be leading the championship, is still hosed. But anyways, we're at Homestead now. Quick thought here. This should be the final track.
This 100% should be the season.
Okay. I have no idea why Phoenix, which is just dreck.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. It's like, terrible.
There's no passing, and if there is passing,
right?
You move the guy out of the way, and that, you know.
But you go six wide. Why are you complaining?
I don't want to hear that. No. And they already ruined the dog leg as it is. There's no dog leg.
You go six wide. What more can you ask for?
Well, there's no tracks limits there either. Because they run all over the place. Different
story, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just it's anyways. This is where it should be. This should, under the lights here.
Yeah. No, 100%. No, I under the lights. I mean, at first, like if I maybe look back at it, is it better flat or better banked? I'd say probably better banked, because you have a better chance of.
I just think there's more passing here.
Yeah.
All right. Congrats to Tyler Reddick.
He's in.
He went from flipping the week before to qualifying for the Phoenix race.
That's right. What a turnaround.
Good for 23XI Racing, Michael Jordan. And Denny Boo Hamlin, car owner. Although I think this team might be out of NASCAR next year. Anyways, we'll see.
I mean, don't get me started with the whole charter thing.
That's a discussion for the offseason.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Nate, let's have your recap of the race.
Well, I mean, my whole thing is NASCAR needs to go back here for the season finale, but this is a good track for drivers like Kyle Larson, who I thought would rebound and maybe do exceptionally well. And he
was.
He had two terrible.
He had an incident early in the race, and then clawed his way back, and then he ran afoul of one of my favorite drivers in NASCAR.
Oh, 83. Austin Dillon. But
Rappy Richards' grandson.
Kyle Larson.
Pap.
Did nothing wrong.
Grandson.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. But this was going to be I thought it was going to be a really good race, because right away I would have guessed it would have been Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, as we mentioned, Denny Hamlin, and Tyler Reddick, I think would be easy choices for battling for the win. And all four of which are championship drivers looking to get
a win,
go to the next round, right, and fight for a championship. And so we go, and there was plenty of, you know, lead swaps and arguably really good racing, because it wasn't just a high line this time, but a lot of times you could make a run through the middle and make it work. Yep. And even fighting low, which, I mean, I think the better... I think the racing was a lot better than in years past at Homestead to begin with, which even furthers the argument for why is this not
the final?
The final. Because in stage one, there was, you know, the 23XI teammates were battling for the lead, Bubba Wallace and Tyler Reddick. Mm-hmm. They were having a great battle for the lead. Did Kyle Larson get? He had a problem in stage one as well, because he had the tire issue. I think it was a good thing that the stage caution came out, because he was able to catch up and regroup and, soon be back in the fight. But he wasn't really all much of a factor in stage two. In fact, it was more so the three picks I had mentioned, Hamlin, Bell, and Reddick, and Blaney was starting to really come up through the field along with Chase Elliott. Again, those two are also drivers that need to come, get the victory, or at least get points to move on. Because I wouldn't even pick Kyle Larson to have an issue, because he came into the race 35 points to the good. And then we found out in the final stage that Kyle Larson would have that issue with going three wide in the middle. And I think he misread where Austin Dillon was going to go, or thought, Austin Dillon was going to let him go. But that didn't end up being the case. He held his line, Austin Dillon did, on the high side. And I think Kyle Larson just miscalculated his move on him, which is a rare mistake for Kyle Larson.
And he admits to being at times a little too aggressive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is with about 10 laps to go.
Yeah.
It was getting to it. And it was just Ryan Blaney and Kyle Larson to decide the win. But I'd even also say, you know, what is Ryan Blaney doing? He kind of went up and gave Kyle Larson not all that much room. There was plenty of space on the bottom, which you could argue, well, why doesn't Ryan Blaney go down below? I mean, you kind of see the situation. There's a car on your outside and you had an incoming car even higher up. So I think Ryan Blaney was even pinching him more than what he should have.
Gotcha.
Because, I don't know. That's just my look at it. And then everyone comes down Pitt Road. And now it's Lee Diffie lives for this, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then out of nowhere, here's Dennis Hamlin fighting for the win. And my boy Christopher Bell, he's in it. But not as much in the fight as you would think. Mm-hmm. So it's the three of them. And they take the white flag. And Tyler Reddick is third, mind you, when this happens. And he's able to make the pass on Dennis Hamlin. And then I'm thinking, okay, Ryan Blaney's going to go on the high side just to get the run.
Mm-hmm.
He picks the middle, which I don't know. If I'm in a last lap situation at Homestead, you're either way low to maybe take the air off the nose, or you're on the high side to keep the momentum going when you leave the corner. Yeah. I don't know why he was in the middle. That would have been my last guess in going into 3 and 4 in the final lap at Homestead, especially with the NASCAR. And it just, Tyler Reddick just breezed by him like he wasn't even worried about passing him. I don't know what Ryan Blaney was doing. He that was the easiest pass you'll ever get from Ryan Blaney, or in fact anybody. And Ryan Blaney didn't even fight for it. Like, I'm not saying put the guy in the wall, but I mean, if he's going to pinch Kyle Larson, maybe pinch Tyler Reddick. Like, I don't know. It left me puzzled. But did you see the finish, Sean?
I thought Reddick had a huge run and he blew by him. That's all. Kind of, he caught him like in between 3 and 4. I mean, that's like the perfect spot.
No, he threw it in there in 3 and just, I think.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He caught him. He threw it in, but when he made the pass, he was in between 3 and 4. So I don't think Blaney had anything for him.
Maybe so, but it looked like an easy pass. That, I mean, for the win.
What do you want him? Run him into the wall?
Like I said, that's my point. I don't want the guy to get thrown into the wall, but I'm like,
I mean, why not? It's Blaney's corner. He was at the apex first.
Oh, come on. Oh, my gosh. FIA ruling over here. That's a wild discussion later, huh, Sean? I'm surprised Ryan Blaney didn't race him as hard as he did with Kyle Larson.
Maybe Blaney didn't have it in the car. The driver knows.
But
I think I do believe Reddick had the fresher tires.
Everybody came in for tires in that last caution. So it's not tire driver skill.
Are you sure Blaney put news on?
Everybody came into the pits.
Okay. All right.
I forget if he got 2, 4, or hell, even none.
Yeah.
But Tyler Reddick was, I mean, he got by Hamlin on the low side and cleared him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess his car was working in all lanes.
All right. So kind of run through, through.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. I'm just saying, like, it's Joey Logano, Tyler Reddick are the two definitely fighting for a championship now in Phoenix. And who's one of the drivers outside looking in is actually Kyle Larson, who, like I mentioned, was plus 35 going into this race. Excuse me. And now is minus 7 points out looking at, with only one chance. And oh my gosh, if he doesn't make it in Martinsville, and even Chase Elliott, I don't know if even the Hendrick cars can even make it. That'd be nuts. That'd be really, really nuts. Okay. Anyway.
Let's recap the finishing order here. Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Danny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, Chad Elliott, Chase Elliott, William Byron, Bowman the Showman, The Dinger, Hosever, and Ryan Preece, top 10.
AJ Allmendinger's back next year full time. That'll be cool to see.
Yes, he is. That was well worth it sending him to
And two more drivers are gonna get in and fight for a championship. Who do you like, Sean? Larson?
Yeah, well, here's our championship leaderboard right now. We know that Reddick is locked in, and we know that Logano is locked in.
Your boy, Logano.
Yeah, my boy. Our points leader, Christopher Bell, he's a points leader, but he is not locked in. Kyle Larson is in third. Tyler Reddick, fourth. Oh, no, Tyler Reddick, sorry. He's fourth. Yeah. Hamlin's fifth, not locked in. Blaney, not locked in. And Chase Elliott, not locked in.
And Martinsville's the next race? Oh, my God.
Martinsville, the next race.
They did that on purpose. NASCAR. Yeah.
I think out of this group, I think Larson's either going to win and qualify.
I don't know. I mean, my pick right away is Denny Hamlin to win Martinsville. He's really good at Martinsville. It's just home track, and he's always been very good at the paperclip. And then I'd even like right away, I'm thinking it's the two Gibbs cars. It's going to be Denny Hamlin and Christopher Bell are going to be the two guys getting in. I hate to do this to Larson, but I mean, he has to win.
So what you're saying, Nate, is that this is a Toyota track?
I think so.
All right. I'm going to go with Captain America, Kyle Larson, to win.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
And Ryan Blaney, he has to win. Chase Elliott.
Nate, essentially, if you're not locked in right now, the best way to get in is to win.
you can't
be out there points racing, unfortunately.
At least we can't dump someone like Austin Dillon did anymore. NASCAR made that clear, which,
yes, mercifully.
Yeah.
Regardless of who comes out of this Martinsville race as the final four, if none of them win at Phoenix, no one is crowned the champion. That's how it should be. You have to win to be the champion.
Yeah, there shouldn't be any. You know, to tell you the truth, though, there's just no playoffs. Period. So,
what kind of pissing cup shit is that?
It's bad enough. It's coming down to we're having playoffs in supercars next year.
Yeah.
All right. So this weekend at 2:00. So
mark it on your calendar.
Mark it on your calendar. 2 p.m.
On Sunday.
The Xfinity 500.
Yeah, that's right. Did you see what the truck race was called?
Last weekend?
No. At Martinsville. They have these stupid names. Zip Buy Now, Pay Later 200. It's wow. Out of, yeah, I know.
Did you look up what the company does?
I was about to, actually. I guess you zip buy now and pay later.
It's, you know, it's like the Go Bowling 350 at the Glen.
Yeah, but at least Go Bowling is, you know, it's actual bowling into turn one.
That's true.
Oh, shop online. It looks like it's a...
I'm shocked it's a shop store. Online company. All right, well, yep, here it is, 2 o'clock. You get, at 2, race is at 2, but your pre-race will be the F1 race in Brazil at noon. Mm. E Brazil.
There you go.
That's going to be a nuts, right? I already have my... I think I already have my pick for Brazil.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Christian says it's going to rain.
Oh.
All right.
Big.
All right. So that concludes our NASCAR chat. Nate, thank you for contributing.
Of course.
Good to have you back there. Bring some depth to that NASCAR segment.
I know. I can't do it as good as you, Sean, but, you know.
Oh, Christian and I, yeah. Man,
we, yeah, right? Yeah.
It was...
It's been...
Christian was just like...
The only thing that saved Christian this weekend was the fact that there wasn't an overtime.
Oh, see?
Yeah, yeah. And hold on, because I did look this up. This was the only race this year to have a caution with 10 to go and then no other cautions after that.
Shocking.
Sean, unproven.
Every race that has had a caution with either 10 to go or 5 to go, whichever one comes first, or if it does at all, when that happens, there's usually a green, white, checkered or overtime, but not gotcha. This race.
Not this race.
Nope.
All right.
Well, how about that?
All right. Well, we will look forward to next weekend. Off to Mexico City in the Autodromo Romanos Rodriguez.
What a race.
Romanos means, gentlemen?
Romanos?
Yes.
Brothers.
That's brothers. Right. Very good. The Rodriguez brothers.
Muy bien, Christian.
Yes.
Yeah, high school Spanish.
Pedro and Rodrigo. famous Rodriguez brothers from the 1960s and 70s, and they were pretty badass. Anyways. Tragically, they both had untimely fates, unfortunately. all right. I guess this is the, you know, I guess the Ferrari redemption tour continues. That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're showing amazing pace as of late. I mean, it's just terrible that the turnaround is so late in the season.
Well, I think part of the thing is, I think the reason they're showing pace is they didn't touch the car.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think this weekend it will be their strong suit. I'm thinking when they get back to Vegas, they'll definitely be in the they'll definitely be the fast two cars.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, because Qatar is kind of like Mexico, right? Has that flat layout.
Well, I was just kind of looking at this race and the next one. I didn't want to go too far out.
Yeah, I know.
I think this weekend, I'm looking for possibly a Mercedes rebound, but Mercedes is in a bit of a pinch, and we'll get to that shortly.
Yeah, I mean, where do we want to start off this weekend recap? Do we want to go through practice or just get through?
No, practice we had, first practice we had a bunch of
Oh, yes, we did.
What do you guest drivers, I guess, Formula One drivers.
Reserve drivers.
Reserve drivers. We had drivers. Pato. Yep, Pato Award.
Yeah, I was going to say Pato.
Pato came. Kimi Antonelli, once again, fine performance in the Mercedes. After crashing it at Monza, he runs over a piece of debris in Lewis's car this weekend.
But Sean, I want to know one important thing. See, Jesus. Even Indy 500 runner-ups get F1 testing.
Yeah, but Pato, if I had to put Pato against Kimi Antonelli, I'm going to tell you, I think I'm going to pick Pato.
Really?
Yes.
I guess it depends on the track. If it's
no,
ever...
no, just yeah, from overall yeah. race savviness, I'm picking Pato.
No, I'm picking Kimi. That's crazy. That's crazy.
What has he done?
He's done an amazing job in the rain. Are you kidding me?
Dude,
he's a great racer in the rain, and he's already done all these tours in the F1 circuit already, just in a slower car.
Mate.
No, it's very valid. Very valid. And he can only get better from here. Pato's like at peak getting there. You know, he's... I'm not saying Pato's not a bad driver. I'm just saying if I had to pick between the two of them, Kimi's my first choice. Because he's going to be always improving.
Or crashing.
No. Pato's crashing.
Well, he's two for two.
Did you see what happened to Long Beach when he raced with Scott Dixon?
Kimi's two for two.
Look, I'm just telling you.
You know?
My thoughts,
he's contributed
yes.
to the woes that Mercedes is now facing in the dollar front. Kim and George.
Look at Ferrari. They're overpaying Lewis Hamilton when he goes over there. All right. So is Ferrari.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. They should have been bringing Lewis in, but I think they should have been canning Leclerc.
But yeah, they picked the wrong guy. They picked the wrong guy.
I think Carlos they did pick the wrong guy.
I agree with you there.
And I think Red Bull made a bad decision in not picking him up.
I know. I just and you, because you're already having these miserable races with Sergio Perez. I mean, it's weekend after weekend after weekend.
Well, it could have got any worse this weekend.
No, especially my boy Liam Lawson. I mean.
Well, that was the race, but I mean, I'm not even going to talk about like qualifying. It was pathetic.
I know. It's simply
the only one. The only person that had a worse weekend was Yuki.
I was going to say steak F1. Like it seems to be consistent. Now,
at least I believe their cars finished the race,
and they're not damaging the car 24/7.
They're not damaging the cars, so.
Well, I see 0 points on the board, so I don't know. You tell me.
You know, at least their mechanics aren't fixing the cars.
True. Mm. Very true. And didn't we find out in the Destructors Championship that Sergio Perez has actually outdone Logan Sargeant compared to when he did it last year when he was crowned such champion?
I believe he is. I don't have the numbers from last year, but I am looking at the World Destructors Championship as of Austin, so it's not updated from Mexico.
They're still tabulating the damage.
Yeah, I would expect Tsunoda to jump up most likely because he's ranked 6th. After Austin, Perez is out in front. With a 1.5 million lead on Sargeant. Sargeant has another 500K over Albon. And then Sainz is in 4th with 1.7.
And Sean, Logan Sargeant is done for the season. And Sergio Perez is still racing. There's still 4 races.
Yeah. Although Bottas has actually... Pierre Gasly has zero damage to his name. And McLaren is doing the best with just under a million in damages. So
no, that's good.
That McLaren is really maximizing all of their financials into development, and they're doing it without any worries of damages or anything like that to halt any updates. So that's a really huge bonus for them. I mean, Red Bull between Perez and Max, they're 5.5 million in damages, and Ferrari is at 2.9, so almost 3. I mean, that's right there. McLaren has a $2 million advantage.
Gotcha.
Over Ferrari, and even more so with Red Bull. But and granted, none of these numbers are official. They're all just estimates on what everything costs. But you know, it is a good way to just see who's roughly where they are and how much of an impact all of these mistakes are making. So you can't, unfortunately, you can't be doing, you can't be wrecking cars week after week. I mean, that's why Mick Schumacher got the boot at Haas. I mean, I like him, but
yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
if you wreck the
yeah.
car one yeah. too many times, that cuts into development for the
that's,
car.
That's why Sargent got the boot. So,
yeah.
So, all right, qualifying. I was pleasantly surprised that Carlos got pole.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't. I was expecting him to get another win this year because of Ferrari's current form. I mean, getting a 1-2 at COTA is, I mean, obviously that track fits into their wheelhouse. You know, it's more than just the drivers. It's at that point, it's the car. Given that, I would even say, is Ferrari thinking about a Charles Leclerc Drivers' Championship? Probably not. But at this point, it's, you know, now you're trophy hunting, right?
I think they're looking at the Manufacturers' Championship.
Yeah.
They could. And if they do that, isn't that like one of the bigger comebacks?
Yeah.
In F1?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm not sure what the numbers are for that, plus the points are all distorted too, so I don't really know how much teams have been moving up and down, but I did see, I mean, with all these multi Grand Prix winners for this year alone, I think it's since 81 or 83 that it's matched the number of drivers or exceeded the number of drivers of multiple winners and multiple drivers with multiple wins in the same season. So it's definitely more exciting than some of the previous seasons, but you just don't see the constant flip-flopping for first place in the drivers. Because if Max didn't have the starts of the season that he did, and the field looked, take it for what it is now and put it back then, yeah, the season would be kind of wide open, but it would probably be more of a Ferrari and McLaren outright battle rather than a Red Bull one, or Max. But I mean, it is interesting to watch, and just the fact that there's a possibility that Lando can win does make the season all that more enticing to watch, because you don't know. I mean, Max could have a bad weekend at any point, and there's not much really he can do. And
the onus, I think, overall though, is on McLaren not having the bad weekend. Because let's put it this way. Lando goes out in one race, it's over.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 All right. So it's not, if Max goes out, it's not over.
Right. But it is amazing to me that you have to look back to Spain, June, the end of June, is when Max won his last race.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like you alluded to earlier, Nate, there does seem to be rain in the forecast. You said that there was going to be rain in the forecast this weekend. So, might be interesting and another opportunity for Max to sneak a win.
Well, if there's rain in the forecast, vamos, Team Haas.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Hey, there's a pole winner over here in Haas, all right? Mm-hmm.
Well, if it rains all weekend, it could be a race winner in Team Haas too.
Yeah.
Yes. Be all for it. Can you imagine Nico Hülkenberg getting his first podium with a Haas?
Oh, can you imagine a Haas 1-2?
Wow,
what a Ferrari 1-2 there.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's a Ferrari engine.
Yeah, so yeah.
I don't think the engine is the problem. I just don't think the car. I don't think the Ferrari car is an Interlagos car, but we shall see.
But I'll kind of, you know, rebuttal that, because look at where Haas was. I know I'm kind of skipping ahead, but look where they were at COTA and soon to be when we talk about the race in Mexico. They're kind of, you know, skewed up as well.
We should probably talk about the race in Mexico rather than just jumping forward to
Interlagos. Yeah, no, I know.
Because we can get to Interlagos
so,
after we...
in the immortal words of lights out, and away we go, Max took the lead.
Yeah.
On the start.
And what did Yuki do?
Yuki got... well...
Does it... Got some air time.
Yuki threw caution to the wind, and he. I don't know about sending it up the outside there. I really don't.
Me neither. Because where else are you going to go? The grass.
If you're in the front two rows or three rows, I get going to the outside. But when you're back where he was, which was row six or whatever, row five, row six, that's just not going to happen because everyone is starting to funnel there. You know.
Right.
And it did was one guy had to move over and, bang, he clipped Yuki. And Yuki went for a ride.
Well, and Albon really couldn't have done anything because he had a car in his inside pushing him out.
Right. He was kind of hoping that there was no one on the outside, you know.
And, I mean, Yuki did it to himself, if you're asking me. From what I saw.
Yeah, I thought it was an unnecessary risk. Especially where
high risk, no reward.
Especially where the car had been rebuilt over the weekend,
and especially so like trying to sell himself to get a Red Bull ride.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
Doesn't help. And Honda could do all they want to try to get Yugi. I think Liam Lawson's sold on the seat. A one-year contract for Yuki, maybe, if worst-case scenario. But I'm thinking Liam Lawson has already got the seat.
Is Yuki re-up for next year?
I mean, at least until Honda goes to Aston Martin in 2026, that'd be my bet.
Yeah, I believe he has a contract.
Okay, he's up for next year. Okay. All right. So, now we go, and we end up with a safety car. Max leads through the safety car. Defends for two laps as the safety car is called in,
and has a really good restart.
Yeah,
to get away.
Good restart. Defended for two laps, and then Carlos turned the wick up.
Yeah, he was able. He had an amazing run. I think it was the second lap on the straightaway.
Yeah,
the main straight, and was able to really catch up to. Max Verstappen, and didn't make the pass or anything, but I was more amazed of how much ground he made up on that one straight.
Right.
I think they're going to be, come Vegas, I think it's going to be another Ferrari 1-2. Now that I think about it. Because there's three long straightaways.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying Vegas is more of a track than Interlagos.
Right. But, and then Carlos Sainz takes the lead.
And then controversy.
Controversy in F1? No. But I'll tell you, it was an amazing pass for the lead. Carlos Sainz really threw it in there to make it happen. And in doing so, backed himself and Max up to Lando Norris and Charles Leclerc.
Right.
But
the controversy.
Which one? There was two.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what we're trying to get to is the controversy, Nate.
Yes, yes, yes. So, okay. Lando tries on the outside, but Max gives him, he just threw him off the track. There was no gap, no nothing the first time, where it's a normal passing zone. And then two corners later, Max really doesn't do himself any favors in the S's and throws both of them off the track.
Yeah. All right, so my take on this is the first incident was very much like Austin. He had him at the apex, drove him out, and that. Now, I will, at this point, after this, I 100% agree. This was poor driving on Max's part. And well worth the penalty. No, on Max's. On Max's. I understand he doesn't want to give up the spot, but, what he needs to understand is the car's not that competitive, so minimize the damage. You know, if they're going to get by you, they're going to get by you. He could have settled for fourth and been fine.
You say that, but actually, if you want to talk about damage limitation, the way he did it was actually the more efficient.
Oh, I know. I agree. So, I agree. He did prevent Lando going for the win.
So, yeah, just to kind of recap that. So,
yeah.
If the two scenarios I'm looking at is one, you have the way you finished, right? Which is fine.
Yep.
With Lando finishing second and Max finishing sixth after the penalties, it was a 10-point loss. That Max took away from that. If we play out the scenario where Lando or Max doesn't make that second move, all right, and Max finishes fourth, and Lando does mm-hmm. end up winning because Lando definitely had the pace to win,
and doesn't win
because Sorry. Max. Backed him up at the start, the start of the race. With how long Lando was behind Verstappen, if he got ahead, I don't think he, I think he would have caught Sainz at some point. Sainz probably would have managed the race a bit differently, but that McLaren is fast, there's no doubt about that. Anyways, mm-hmm. if Lando did end up winning the race and Max finished fourth, the point swing would have been 13 points. So if Max's idea is just to not let Lando win, then you know it's working out. So from that standpoint, he did it. Yes, if you know, say the Ferraris played the strategy a little bit differently, and like Leclerc could have been used as the dummy to park the bus and back Lando up mm-hmm. more to give the gap to Sainz, then yeah, he finishes second, so then the points gap would be six. So, but I mean, you're at that point, it's all a risk game, and which one do you take? So, I mean, I guess Max settled for splitting the difference in that sake. So from a damage limitation standpoint, whether you let Lando win or you have him not win,
right.
It seems like the not winning option is better for Max at this point. I don't defend the move that he did because it was clearly desperate. I think what I call into question is the consistency of the stewards, because
for sure. Because what is it after Coda, right?
Well, so I did read the ruling from Coda of what they put out and then versus what they put out for this. So in Coda, the rules said that a standard 10-second penalty is what is given for any of that stuff, but they thought that, and they put this in the penalty release statement of that 5 seconds for George and Lando during Austin was deemed sufficient. So with how it played out there, but with rather than the whole 10-second penalty, whereas in Brazil, in Mexico, they give Max 2 10-second penalties. So I guess if you're going to use precedent or set precedent for any of the rules that you have in the book, you kind of have to go back and look at Max and Lewis during 21. Mm-hmm. And the race that comes to mind is Brazil during that season, where Max absolutely runs Lewis off the track. Granted, Lewis ended up winning the race, but Max, I don't believe, was assigned a penalty for that stuff. So, yeah, I know it's 21 versus 24, but again, if the rules aren't addressing the loopholes that Max is trying to exploit, you got to be consistent on how you rule this stuff. I don't have a problem with how Max is driving, because the stewarding has led to him thinking he can do it all, which is fine. He's playing the rule book to a T. I don't have a problem with that. I don't agree with this general note. I mean, with all this aside, I don't agree with the general driving of how everyone in F1 does it, because I think just driving your opponent off the track is ridiculous in the first place. Just because, you know, you're at the apex first. I don't agree with that. I think you can have plenty of good racing when you give a fair amount of space or run each other hard to, you know, the edges of the track. But I mean, that's just not how they do it in F1, so that's their own.
Yeah, I mean, F1 overall made this bed, and they got a lie in it.
Right.
You know, Max read the rule. Max knows the rules. He's doing it. The apex stuff, he's pushing that to, you know, right to the limit. I do agree with Nate. I on the second side of the fence, I thought that was out of bounds.
That's very dangerous. Opinion. Very dangerous.
Yeah, I thought that was crap. But
my whole thing is that's fine. The first incident, like, I can see that happening, but for the second one, that wasn't even a passing zone.
Yeah.
There was no way that was even going to work to begin with. Nate. But now here's the devil's advocate of it. One could argue that Lando was potentially letting Max by. Did he slow up? I didn't look at the throttle and brake data or anything like that. But some seem to argue that Lando was maybe trying to let Max by, and Max just assumed otherwise and just took it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably a stretch for that one. But to your point of that's not a passing zone, Nate, come on. Every race car driver knows that every corner is a passing zone. Some are just easier than others. Okay.
I you know, I've been called to have another inside line, but you know, I don't see it that as a passing zone. And that's me saying that. But again, I don't know. I mean, just looking at it, I just really don't see that as an optimum place to make an idea of an overtake.
Mm-hmm.
How I see it.
All right. Christian? So the outcome was. So the outcome here is Max got saddled with 2 10-second penalties for 20 seconds. He went on to hold off Lando for quite a bit, kind of, you know, keeping him from moving forward. This is where I kind of don't get. This is where I question McLaren.
Right.
Why didn't they just bring Lando in?
Oh, I know. Just get him out of it.
Because if they pitted first, Max is going to have to pit. You know, I think they were better off pitting sooner than losing more time behind Max to Carlos with the hope that maybe he could catch him. As it was, Lando was catching him at the end of the race. So if they had got him out of this sooner, perhaps he would have been even closer.
Right? I don't know. I mean,
it's that was my first inclination on this was as he got stuck and stuck behind him, I'm like, all right, well, we're getting into the window here. They're going to go to hard tires. What's the big deal if you pit him now? Just get him out of it as soon as possible.
Well, get him out of it and maybe increase your chances of getting higher up on the grid. Right, because I don't know if it would have been a win, but I mean, it would have been increasing your chances for second.
Well, as it was, he got second, but
right.
I just thought getting him out of it would have made it easier for him to close in on him. So,
for sure, and I get the argument because I was even starting to think about it as I was watching the race.
Well, I think the other thing too is, yeah, you could say that, but who knows what the gap would have been like as well? Because I mean, if trying to get through traffic there and seeing how some of the lap traffic costed Leclerc a lot of times towards the end of the race, if you catch guys at a bad spot, you're not really helping yourself, and it's kind of hard to make up time too because the pace that Sainz was running. I mean, yeah, Lando was running a little quicker towards the end, but even guys outside the top 10 were running pretty much the same pace. So no one was really gaining on anyone. So I think that's the other point to look at it, too. I mean, it's always easy to say, yeah, just pit him earlier, but no one's ever looking at the gap of where they're going to come out.
That's true. Well, I don't know. That was just my thoughts on that whole mess, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from that point on, I really thought Carlos controlled the race nicely.
Yes.
You know, and I, you know, Lando put on a spirited charge back through the field to overtake Leclerc for the second and demote Charles down the third. You know, and then, you know, Max made a spirited run back up through the field to finish sixth. So, you know, 10-second penalty, Max probably could have finished, probably maybe split the Ferraris. I mean, sorry, split the Mercedes.
Right,
yeah.
You know, so that's, you know, it was just, I thought one move was fine. I thought the second move was uncalled for, but anyway.
Yeah, I was not a huge fan of the second move. Yeah. Like, again, I could see this first move. I understand that move, but the second one was just out of my vocabulary. I really did not understand that.
In the predictions from last weekend, Christian, how did we do?
Nate did the best. He he did not get anyone in the correct order, but he guessed the entire podium. He was off. He had Lando first, Leclerc second, and Sainz third. So I mean, just rearrange it a little bit, and you're right there. Dad, you got two. You got the two Ferraris, and then I got the two Ferraris as well. But I got Leclerc in the right spot. Mm-hmm. That was really the only difference there.
All right. All right. Let's just take a quick look at the point standings. We can find them. I am checking.
Max is leading.
Yes. Max has a 47 point lead. Charles is third with 291. He is 24 behind Lando. Oscar is 40 behind Charles. Carlos is coming like a freight train. He's just 11 behind Oscar. And then there's just a massive drop off to Lewis and George.
I'm even going to add this. Christian, you're a numbers guy. You'll like this. Carlos Sainz is officially eliminated from Drivers' Championship contention.
Dude, give me a break. Despite... I cannot stand that. Was it motorsport.com that closed?
Yeah. I see that, and I'm just like, oh, Christian must be like losing his mind seeing this.
Dude, it's like, yeah, we get it, but you started doing it now, and you didn't do it for like any of the other drivers before.
Yeah, like, ooh. Like...
I mean, they did it for the Mercedes drivers, I think, the last week, but I mean, you didn't do it for any of the Sauber guys or Aston Martin drivers, so no one else in the bottom half of the standings. So, give me a break.
Yeah.
Sorry.
More
interesting on the points front is, yes, McLaren is still leading in the Constructors' Championship, but Ferrari takes over second place in the Constructors. They leap.
Which was big. Yeah.
Leap Red Bull.
It's entirely possible for Ferrari to take the lead realistically at the end of the season. Yeah. Realistically, I would say strongly.
They are 29 points.
Yeah, very doable.
And between two good drivers, very doable. Yeah. Very doable.
Yep. This is what happens when you have two good drivers.
Yeah, well, you know what? You know what's happening next year? Getting rid of one of them.
Oh, at Ferrari? Yep. I was talking Red Bull, who should be canning Perez today, but they didn't do that.
See, and that's the funny thing, right? Normally they would axe Pierre Gasly, Alex Albon. The fact that they haven't done their tradition of axing a driver earlier mid-season, especially Sergio Perez, I mean, come on, Ferrari. I mean, not Ferrari.
Red Bull,
come on.
Wow, man, it's been that long. Yeah,
I know. the other red-ish car, right? So, apparently I'm colorblind too. But no, I mean, that's just it, right? I don't know. I can't believe Red Bull haven't sacked Sergio Perez yet. I mean, at least put... I mean, I want to say Liam Lawson, but someone might be saying, hey, put Yuki in a few races and, you know, see what happens, right? I mean, at this point, now you're trying to save your Constructors' Championship, right? Like, I mean, you got two championships to worry about, right?
The other thing, too, is... whether they're trying to save it or they're just, you know, throwing in the towel, like Mercedes is not passing them. So, this point, what do you have to lose?
Well, that's my point. Like, at this point, it's, you know, try the Hail Mary. And I mean, for the Commanders, it works, but maybe, you know, for Red Bull, it could work.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Picks for next week or quick news?
Let's just talk quickly on the Mazda race at Martinsville, Christian.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, great race. 105 laps around Martinsville. First place got 15 grand and a grandfather clock, which, where'd it go?
Did they get a full scale?
Yes.
Yes, they did.
Clock. Oh, yep.
Yes.
Man. That's awesome. Yep.
And it was number 96 of Chase.
Any pro series that runs there, that they get one.
Yep, of Jarrett Thomas that won
Jarrett
the race.
Jarrett Thomas, yeah.
And I'm sorry, he took home $25,000. My bad, 25.
Plus the clock.
Plus the clock.
That's a good day.
This was an exhibition race, not part of the points. I'm totally fine. No, I think this is fine as an exhibition race. I think you could get a
good, I think so too. First time through.
Yeah, especially first time through. I mean, even second or third time, I think this would be fine as like an end of season kind of thing.
There was only 18 cars too.
Yeah. So I mean, that you and I were talking earlier. I mean, it there wasn't much racing going on for most of it. Because I think the field got spread out pretty quickly, and with only 18 MX-5s out there, it's not like having they don't take up a lot of space either, so it looks a lot more spread out than it probably is.
I think when it gets they come back and they got more guys there, it'll be good.
Yeah.
Now the MX-5s do run at Daytona on the road course to open the season.
Mm-hmm.
They put on a great race there. I will say this. If I had to watch the MX-5s on a 2.5 mile super speedway,
that's different. That's different. Yeah.
I mean,
on the road course and the bankings and stuff, it's just the right amount.
Any of your mile and a half tracks, I think would be, I'm sorry, not mile and a half, mile.
Yeah, tracks. No, mile and a half would be about the biggest you want to go with these things.
No, I wouldn't do a mile and a half. I would just do a
like mile like New Hampshire or something.
Mile. Yeah, I think a mile like New Hampshire is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I mean, what's?
I thought Martinsville was perfectly fine for this.
What's?
Oh, so, it was awesome.
Ugh.
Phoenix. I don't know. You got it right. It might work.
It's not. I'm not a fan of it as the NASCAR finale. I mean, I don't mind it as an oval, but I think with a smaller car like the Miata, it could work better.
It could. IndyCar used to go there. And I think
it could race better. Yeah.
Gateway
could be another good track. I mean, I'm just thinking of tracks that are a mile and smaller.
Darlington with the MX-5s.
Darlington.
That might not be bad. That might be pretty interesting.
Yeah. Right.
Anyways, there were a few cautions.
That would actually be interesting.
There would be a few. Actually, Nate, I think we're just spitballing ideas for NRL right now.
I know. It sounds familiar.
The last 15 laps, there were a few cautions involved, but the racing on the restarts was great. And I mean, it was pretty much the whole way up. No one was really trying to door too many guys. It seemed like everyone was just trying to make it to the finish. And plus, it was an exhibition. Yeah, they in the final laps they definitely were, and you could see it. It was some really good stuff. So I had no problem with it, and guys were like really pushing the limits of how hard you could bump one another too.
Yeah, they were.
So
yeah,
they were.
But yeah,
was that not F1 Boston League?
It was pro night.
Yeah,
that's all I could think.
That's
about.
That's all I could think about when I was watching it.
Yeah,
right. I was like, oh man, where have I seen this story before?
No, that was really good.
I mean, then again, I mean, when you watch the modifieds, they're doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yep. And they're doing it all day at New Hampshire. I mean, that's just super speedway.
There's one thing when it's called a bump and run. It's not when you crash into somebody.
Yeah, it's not a dump and run.
Yeah, it's not a dump and run. It's when you, in a modified, when you move somebody, it's literally, you got to be good at it.
Yeah, you got to hit them square.
Because you don't want to hook the bars. And the guys do the same thing in the Mazdas because you can't really, you don't want to risk damaging the front end on those things.
Yeah.
No, because you, yeah. You need that front end.
Yeah. So, anyways, all right. So, look forward to that for next season. Hopefully,
mm-hmm.
I say more sports cars on ovals. I'm sorry. I might just start a petition.
No, I like I. It has to be the right place. I mean, And secondly, like Mazda MX-5 Cup racing at Lime Rock is fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Or any single make racing series at Lime Rock is fantastic. Porsche Super Cup.
Any spec.
Mustang Challenge.
Spec. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll be honest with you. I think the Craftsman truck race there is going to be insane.
Yeah.
And they're going to have an ARCA race there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like K&N, but the truck race is going to be fantastic.
They're just missing the
money. Are they using
that schedule?
Are they going to use the uphill?
I would assume so.
They have to.
Now you're faced with a dilemma, right? Do you use the chicane, which would
no,
be terrible?
No, that would no, be because terrible. You just chew. Because
you have
the brakes up on that thing.
Yeah,
they'll chew the brakes up on that thing.
No, but someone gets turned and then knocks into three others, like
in the chicane.
In the chicane, yeah, because
you got to use the uphill.
Yeah, you got to use the uphill.
You got to use it.
That's what I got
to use it. I think it's gonna be fantastic.
I think they will. I mean, Trans Am uses the old uphill. So I mean,
yeah, Trans Am does.
TA1 and TA2 cars
use it, and those things are probably faster than the trucks.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So, right. And I wish it was the modifieds. I really do.
They put on such a good show the last time they went.
I mean, the ARCA guys will put on a good show, but I just wish it was the modified instead of the ARCA cars. But
yeah, I already have my pick for that. If Connor Zilich is in it, he won. It's true.
I think Boris is coming back.
Oh, Boris will be all over that one, right?
Come on. Yeah, he'll probably show up in the ARCA race in a Hendrick car. All right.
Just mops the floor. Just a Grand Slam weekend. Practice, qualifying, race.
So, looking ahead this weekend, we got Formula One in Brazil, NASCAR at the Paperclip, and we have WEC season finale in Bahrain.
Yes.
How do you say it one more time, Sean?
Bahrain.
Bahrain? Yeah. Bahrain. That one.
Yeah, that place.
Yeah. You know, one of their, I think their half dollar has a picture of the Bahrain circuit tower on it. Fun fact.
Nice. That's fantastic. Yeah. Let's just do some quick news and notes. I think the, hold on, I just, oh no, I didn't, I did, no, I didn't, hold on.
WEC news for next year. They're ditching the color code of orange for the GT cars and going back to the green.
Okay. That's cool.
That's good.
We have
Wait. I got this. Are you glad that's the case?
Oh, boom.
Guess what? I just bleeped that, so no one's going to hear it.
Oh, dang it. No.
And the other thing that I saw with that news is they're switching the leader boards to have a bit more LEDs on them to do some other information as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, like pit time, right? Or pit stop clock.
Yeah, I thought they did that already.
But I guess it's like
No, I'm sorry. They don't. Stop. They currently right now all they have is the three dots on the side of the car to show whether you're on the podium or not. So this will be the first position board on there, and the pit time too. So,
just on the WEC front, after the weekend race, we have the rookie test, and one Valentino Rossi will be testing the BMW GTP car.
Yes,
that's exciting.
We like to hear it.
Very.
On the NXT IndyCar front, Sophia Flourish will be coming over for a test.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, that's cool.
With HMD, so that'll be exciting.
She's fast.
Jamie Chadwick is testing a Formula E car this weekend and is in hot pursuit of either one-off rides in IndyCar or a full season.
All right.
That'd be awesome.
That would probably be with Dale Coyne Racing. On the IMSA front, just first of our one-off entries for the Daytona 24 Hours has been announced, and that's the Bartone brothers racing Mercedes with GetSpeed. They've been racing in Europe in the Fanatec series over there. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Bartone's a American. He's been racing over there in that series. He's pretty quick as a bronze driver, and has some really good pro drivers with him. So be exciting to see those guys over here. They do have a cool graphic though on their car.
Oh, yeah.
It's all black. It's all black, and it says Bartone Brothers on it, but it's got the skull and crossbone on it. Friggin', it's awesome. Nice. It's one of my favorite ones.
Nice.
Let's see. That covers that. I will say this on some sad news that happened late last week. Bob Riley.
Oh yeah.
Father of Bill Riley. Bob Riley, father of the Coyote IndyCar for AJ Foyt that AJ Foyt won the Indy 500 in. Father of the Lynx Formula V car, the first car that ran an IMSA race and won at Daytona back when it was the very first race in IMSA in the 1970s. Bob Riley, who built the fantastic Roush Ford Mustangs and Capris of the IMSA Transit, IMSA GTO series and the SCCA Trans Am series that were driven by Scott Pruitt, Willie T. Ribbs, Greg Pickett, Wally Dallenbank Jr., John Jones, and Bruce Jenner, now Caitlin. Bob also built the Ford Mustang GTP car, a front-engine GTP car that ran in the 1980s. And that was before he built the all-downforce car, the Chevy Intrepid. That was driven by Wayne Taylor and Tommy Kendall. Bob passed away at 93 and was recently inducted into the IMSA Hall of Fame. So condolences to the Riley family. Bob is a legend and will be missed.
He's a legend of the sport.
Just pre-race career, he also he worked on the Saturn V rocket program.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
All right. I almost made a mistake and went somewhere I shouldn't have gone there. All right, that covers. Breaking news today.
Yeah.
Breaking news today. And this is why I wonder why Chevrolet and GM like can never get their act together when they get to like top level sports car racing. So they've decided that as of this weekend, it's a great time to change the leadership at the top of their WEC hypercar program and IMSA program, as well as their GT3 program.
Jeez. Wonderful timing.
Yeah. It was seamless when it was, when Doug Fian was running it, it was Pratt and Miller, Now it comes in house, and this is what happens. They put two people in charge of the program, let them run it. They're building continuity. They're making steps for next year. And what do? They take these two people and now reassign them to other places in GM. Mm.
Cleared.
These are the people, you're moving your WEC program. You're moving both of your programs to new teams. So wouldn't you want your figurehead or, head of the racing to be, some continuity there?
That'd be my guess.
Just saying. I mean, the guys at Pratt and Miller must be like, even though they're running the Corvette, the GTD Pro cars, I mean, they must be like, what's going on here?
I mean, it depends on how much involvement they are with communicating with them, other than just parts and
yeah,
critical information.
I don't know. Just amazing,
Yeah.
I mean, you're 2 years into this whole hypercar thing, and now you're changing it. And then you got your GT3 program, really, which just kicked off this year in full, and you're changing the leadership there. It's just unreal. Yeah. Anyways, enough of my rant. On that.
Some other news. The real winner of the Mexican Grand Prix was Sonny Hayes.
Hey, so when you get out of your car to celebrate,
I know where you're going with
this. You always can get your helmet off with your gloves. It's much easier.
No. Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say something else.
Nope. Somehow, miraculously, they'll CGI those away.
I mean, call me crazy, but he grabbed the Mexican flag.
You're supposed to grab the you grab the flag of the country the country you're from.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, call me crazy, but that's something I noticed. Like I was like, oh
yes, sorry. No, 100% agree.
Maybe Sonny Hayes is a Mexican driver.
Maybe.
Who knows? Maybe.
Fair point.
True.
All right. Shall we move on to our picks?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's get these in.
So, for Brazil. Oh, do I go first?
I'll go first. Okay.
I think I'm gonna surprise Sean with this. For starters. No. Although. If he wins, he'll be the seventh driver to be a multi-race winner. But I'm picking Lewis Hamilton to win this race. Lewis Hamilton's going to win. You're going to see Lando come in second. Mm-hmm. And then Oscar Piastri is going to finish third. And the wild card is going to be Nico Hülkenberg.
The Hulk,
that's right. So those are my picks.
Okay. My picks... I'm going to go with Oscar for the win. I'm going to go Max for second. And I'm going to go Lewis for the podium.
All right.
And my dark horse will be K-Mag.
All right.
Nice.
I am going for Lando to win, Max in second, and... Leclerc in third. And my dark horse will go Alonso.
Oh, yeah, I know. It sucked that he retired.
They need to pick me up because they are just dropping off the charts right now.
What are they doing, man?
So.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.